There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. It's a Midday Mobile as we count down last few days till Christmas. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Y'all feel better now to hear Governor Bentley in his own words explain why he had the vaccine? Did you hear that interview with Jeff Poore? So what do you think? You think it's a good thing? All right. It's a physician. He's 77 years old. He needs to be able to distribute the vaccine there at his Cool Sculpting Dermatology Clinic, so we need to do it. So there you go. The conversation has happened now. I know there was a lot of hubbub over the weekend, but now you heard it from Governor Bentley himself. So you feel better about that? Okay. Coming up, we're going to talk. We're going to talk about the governor's task force coming back with their gambling report last week, and we'll talk about gambling in the state of Alabama. State Senator Chris Elliott's going to join us. We'll talk about lotto and what that might look like in session coming up. We'll do that here in just a few minutes. I do want to say beforehand, as always, y'all are the best audience ever. Okay, and that's not just patronizing stuff. Some people would do that. I am not that guy. I'm not the patronizing type. So it's all from the heart. I mean, every time y'all have stepped up like this, I continue to be so proud of being associated with all of y'all. And I got a note. Remember, we were leading into, not last week, but the week before last, into the weekend, pushing to get presents donated for the USA Children's and Women's Hospital. Remember, so they would have gifts. They had to get them early because they had to quarantine the gifts for a certain period of time for the safety of the children in the hospital. Remember that. So at that point, because of everything going on this year, Kane, our traffic guy, who his Kane's Warrior Kids, his charity does this, had called out and said, hey, we're short on gifts. We're not going to have enough gifts for all the children at USA Children's and Women's Hospital. And I know y'all, along with me, said, no way, we're going to let that happen. So got this note from Kane and said, thanks so much for all the help with the FM Talk 106.5 audience on the toy drive. We tripled. Now, remind you, they were in a deficit for number of toys. They did not have the number of toys they needed for all the children at USA Children's and Women's Hospital. Okay, they didn't have. He said, we tripled what we did last year. It is the largest toy drive ever, and I greatly appreciate y'all's help. Indeed. Indeed. I knew it. Knew when we brought the force to bear of this audience, y'all would not let those children not have a Christmas gift on Christmas morning that are there in the hospital. So, and not only did y'all do it, I mean, how huge is that? You went from a deficit, not having enough toys, so less than last year's number, to tripling last year's number. So there are multiple toys for those boys and girls. Y'all are awesome. It's Christmas spirit. I love it. Keep up the great work. All right. Thank you. And thanks. You know, let me say this. Thanks to Kane for organizing this, Kane's Warrior Kids. I mean, this is something he does away from his traffic department, away from everything. This is his mission, his charity to help out there. And so hats off to Kane and his wife, who I imagine it straightens things out and is the majority of the organization in that. So congratulations to both of them. They don't get enough credit for what they do all the time, and y'all are fantastic. Now the triple the amount of toys in the past, and those children all have toys for Christmas morning at USA Children's and Women's Hospital. Good work, y'all. All right. Also, speaking of Great things. I met with Carolyn Euler this morning, the winner of our Naughty or Nice Christmas contest, and got her hooked up with the goodies. They pulled the truck up here, loaded their truck up full of their winnings, over $6,600 worth of goodies for Christmas. We got more contests coming your way and more big news in the new year. So wait for that just a couple weeks, and we'll give you that. All right. Coming up on today's show, like I said, we'll talk about gambling this hour. State Senator Chris Elliott joins us here shortly. Also, a couple discussions here, one out of California, and I know I was doing this last week to some degree, but and I'm typecast a little bit here, but Second Amendment stories get my attention. And one out of California, remember we talked, was it a few weeks ago or whatever, California's law that limits purchase of one gun per month. That in California, legal, law-abiding citizen doing everything correct is allowed to have one gun purchase a month. That's it. Well, they've been sued now. And we'll talk more about that lawsuit and what's being being laid out here. Can you imagine that? California, that's their, they're going to say, well, the government is going to tell you you're only allowed to purchase one gun a month. So they've been sued on that. We'll talk about that story coming up in just a little bit. Also, the latest on the vaccine, who gets it, who doesn't. We know Governor Bentley gets it, but when is it going to be your turn? We'll get in that discussion as well. But it's lotto talk. When we return right here on Midday Mobile. Glad you're here. We're online at fmtalk1065.com. And once again, y'all are awesome. Think about those kids at USA Children's and Women's Hospital. You made their Christmas. I love y'all.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
You know, Matt and Eric and others here that have been texting, I get it. To be able to buy a gun a month would be a fine firearms budget indeed. But California says that's all you're allowed to do. They got sued over that. We'll talk more about that in hour number two of the show. As I mentioned, joining us right now, Alabama State Senator Chris Elliott. A lot to talk about with him. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing? That Gun of the Month Club, sign me up.
Would that not be something? It could be called, instead of Harry and David, it'd be Chris and Sean. And you get it. Shows up and you have like an FFL certification. It shows up at your house and you, oh, look, this month it's a Browning shotgun. Wow. Okay. I want to go back through a little bit of remedial here because I'm talking about the task force report on gambling in the state of Alabama that came out last week. Can you kind of set the stage for everybody what happened in last year and the previous year's session when it came to lotto? I mean, kind of lay out where we were, and then we can talk about where we might go.
Sure. So last year's session was as close to a wash as you could probably come up with. We essentially just got the budgets out because of COVID, and that's pretty much it. So there wasn't any serious lottery conversation that went on during that session. The previous year session, the first year in the quadrennium, there was a significant amount of conversation back and forth. You remember the competing bills from Senator Albritton and Senator McClendon over lottery, and an awful lot of discussion about funding, what it would generate from a funding standpoint, a revenue standpoint for the state, and the ills of this type or that type, et cetera, back and forth. There was a lottery bill to pass the Senate. The first year of the quadrennium went to the House and promptly died. And that's kind of how that happened last time. And I expect there to be a lottery bill, you know, brought up again this year in the Senate to try to see if we can take yet another stab at this.
Okay.
What we'll be taking a stab at is a constitutional amendment that gives the people the right to vote on the lottery, the gambling, whatever the bill is that passes. So it still is a constitutional amendment, still has to be approved by the people.
Now, we talk constitutional amendments and the fact that we've yet to get the right to vote on this. Will a constitution, how narrow will that or could that constitutional amendment be? Can you amend the Constitution of the state of Alabama to make it just lottery, or is it the way the language has to be is gambling overall or not? Can it say gambling, but only in the form of lottery?
So great question. This is why I like your show so much. We get to get in the weeds on it because that's where, you know, the devil's in the details, and that's what's going on here. So we could propose a bill to amend the Constitution, and then the voters would vote on it that simply would amend the Constitution to do away with the prohibition on gambling. And forgive the double negative there, but there is a prohibition in the Constitution that says you can't have essentially gambling, games of chance, et cetera. It's a little bit more artful, but it prohibits lottery, it prohibits casino gambling, et cetera. There's a provision that we could simply amend and do away with that. That would leave it wide open for the legislature to then come back and pass legislation to talk about how that would work and what we would set up in order to make that happen. Now, that would be the purest way to do it. But I can tell you the likelihood of the legislature allowing that type of wide open situation to exist without filling in some of the details between that, between now and when the vote takes place is pretty slim. So what's likely to happen is a bill that removes the prohibition on games of chance on gambling, and at the same time lays out a regulatory body to oversee it that deals with the difference we have right now constitutionally between local constitutional amendments that allow gambling in Macon and Greene County, and then also allows the lottery at the state level. So something that it takes all the different enabling constitutionality and puts it all under one statewide organization. So you could see that, and then lays out what kind of lottery. You heard a lot of talk about a paper lottery versus a lottery you could play on your phone, right? Electronic lottery, and all the revenue differs based on what you allow. And then there's this whole thing about gambling itself, casino style games, mm-hmm. et cetera. That's a whole other thing. And then, of course, it's not going to get out of the legislature until we talk about where the money's going. And that's worth a lot of conversation, too, because somehow or another, folks are more okay with things, morally, if it goes to things that they feel like are good. But if it goes to the Sean Sullivan prison lottery, then they're not going to be nearly.
Listen, I've had enough of lampooning my prison lottery idea. It is actually talking about a lottery to deal with the issues we have in the general fund. But let's go. There's so many parts of this. So if we would see an amendment, that amendment would change, like you said, change the Constitution if we voted yes to allow for gaming. But you said there would be a second part in there to put some kind of reins or guardrails on what that means. Is that fair?
That's true. Yeah, the legislature would define what kind of gaming would be allowed and what wouldn't. And I can see that, being something that is a bit contentious in the bill itself and in the legislature.
Okay, so that goes through. And so that's the first decision is, hey, there's going to be a bill go through. And if it's a lotto bill, if we call it a lotto bill, it means amending the Constitution, but saying only lotto will fit that definition, the others can't, correct?
That could be something that happened. We could also open it up to, again, casino-style gaming. So you got lottery, mm-hmm. then which kinds of lottery, right, the electronic versus the paper only. Then you get into gaming, and then you get into what kind of gaming. So all of those are different flavors, if you will, of gambling that could be considered. I think, paper lotteries at, one side of it, and then full sky, style Las Vegas style mm-hmm. gambling is at the other end of it.
Okay, so yeah, like I've often said, lottery, the wine spritzer of the gambling world. So yep. Let's start with that nuance there, though. In lottery, something we talked about 2 years ago a lot, you and I, and you're talking about again, the difference between electronic and paper lotto. Why is that important?
Well, from the state standpoint, the revenue is different. Right, so you may have a $200 million a year revenue source from a paper lottery, which is essentially what Senator Albritton's bill was that was able to pass. Then you could probably double or even triple that if you had a lottery that could be played electronically on your phone. Okay, so you may be talking about revenue in the $400 to $600 million range that could and then you could gamble on your phone at that point. Now, there are a lot of concerns about that, right? So it's one thing if I got to go to the convenience store to buy a ticket and do that. There's a certain effort that has to be put in versus, hey, I'm going to pick up my phone and I'm going to buy some tickets on my phone. There are a lot of concerns that people will play an awful lot more, you know, that from money that they don't have to you know, flit away, if you will, on their phone. And there are more societal concerns with it being easier and easier to play. I'm in favor of a lottery. I'm in favor of giving people a right to vote on the lottery. I want that to happen. I do have concerns about what that looks like in the end of the day.
But isn't there the subtlety on paper versus electronic lottery that with that, it's not just a discussion of paper versus electronic lottery and more people accessing it. It's what it then means for example, the Porch Band of Creek Indians or the McGregor Legacy Casinos.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's wise to go ahead and talk about those elephants in the room, if you will.
I like elephants.
If you want to gamble, and you want, that's something that you want to do, there are only a few places that you can do that legally in the state. So you may, you know, you're going to a PCI venue, you're going to a Green Track venue, a Macon County venue, you know, something like that in order to do that. Well, if we expand, you know, gaming in the state, well, that's more competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of those entities have a vested interest in that type of competition, you know, in an increased competition in their particular market, no question about it.
So, could you pass a paper? So, paper doesn't allow them to get in. If you did both, then those entities could change how they could do the electronic lotto, right? Like make it look like a slot machine, but it'd be electronic lotto or something like that.
No, I don't necessarily think so. I mean, they could perhaps be a vendor or something like that, but that's not where your lotto guys are making their money. You know, the convenience store guy's not making money off of you selling a ticket. He's making money off of you buying a six pack while you're in there.
And some Slim Jims. Well, yes,
that's right. Exactly. All the vices, lottery, Slim Jims, and beer. So you're in there doing all of that at the same time. That's where he's making his money. You're not necessarily getting into their market with that. The issue is if you've got a gambling itch to scratch and you've got to decide you want to do this, well, instead of going to play electronic bingo, do you simply play the lottery on your phone? So that's where the competition comes from the lottery standpoint in my mind. Now, when you get further down the scale on the full-scale casino gambling games, obviously, that's much more in competition to what's happening with in-person gaming in these different venues.
I want to get into that in just a second. Just joining us, talking to State Senator Chris Elliott, talking about the report that came out last week. I got to tell you, I rolled my eyes when it was the big breaking headlines that gambling could bring revenue to the state of Alabama. I mean, maybe the number was important, but it was like, really? You don't say that gambling could bring money in.
But you're absolutely right, and that is something that was not really a surprise. These are all numbers that we've been dealing with in the legislature for some time. You know, I appreciate the governor and her committee, you know, putting this report together. I didn't see a whole lot of new information in it, though. Maybe the public did, and to that extent, it was helpful.
Is there, and before we run the news break, we'll come back and talk about it more, but is there room left for Alabama? Meaning Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, all with, you know, lotteries and some having gaming as well. Is there enough business? Is just inside Alabama enough business for gambling?
Well, there's certainly revenue that we're leaving on the table from the state standpoint. The question is, how much revenue is it? And again, the answer to that is going to be, what do we end up allowing? I don't ever think Alabama is going to become a gaming mecca. You know, that's certainly not the case. The question is really whether or not we can simply keep that revenue from leaving the state and going somewhere else.
All right. Coming right back, more with State Senator Chris Elliott talking about gaming in Alabama, what it might look like in a bill this year in regular session, which we'll also talk to the senator about what he knows about session. Is it going to be February 2nd or not? You know, what are we going to be dealing with in Montgomery? But yes, lotto. And then beyond that, if we already got the truck up on the rack, in other words, we're going to try to amend the state constitution, should we just go for the whole kit and caboodle? Go for class 3 gaming? Or do we have to get our toe dipped in the pool first with lotto? Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, by the way, too, my Locals Only Christmas list for 2020. Check that out on our website and Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065 and FMTalk1065.com. It's the website. All right, continuing our conversation with Alabama State Senator Chris Elliott and talking about the upcoming session and what we might see for another bite at the, I don't know, do I call it the gambling question or the lotto question? It seems like it's all been about lotto till now.
It has been, and I think at this point, though, it's going to be gambling as a whole. It's going to be the whole shooting match.
Okay. So will we, because I wanted to point out that, you know, we've talked about this. This has not been a Democrat like it was, you know, in the 90s with Siegelman. This is, these lotto bills have been brought up by Republicans. So would we see a full, you know, the whole shooting match, the whole kit and caboodle, throw in whatever cliche you want, a whole gambling discussion sponsored by a Republican?
Well, I think that's the case. I mean, you will see this bill likely carried by Republican sponsors in both houses in order to get, to gain passage. The interesting thing is, and I think the Speaker of the House has said this publicly, so I don't mind repeating it, he has said that he is going to need the other side of the aisle in order to get this bill, whatever it is, passed. And that's a little, you know, legislative maneuvering, if you will. He's going to have Democratic support in order to pass a lottery or gambling of any kind.
Wait a second. The Democrats, when Governor Siegelman was it, the Democrats were supporting the lottery.
They were.
What's happened?
They know now that the Republicans are trying to pass it, and they are wise to that. They are trying to get something out of it when they do that, whether that's the name of the game that's played. But they're trying to make sure that they preserve the gambling interest in Macon and Greene County and the local constitutional amendments that allow that. And then they're also trying to make sure their voices are heard as far as what the disposition of the revenue is, right? Where does the money go? Does it go to the general fund or does it go to education exclusively, et cetera? Obviously, Sean, they'd much rather that go to education than go to prison. The House leadership's going to have to make a deal, in my opinion, with the Democrats in order to get something out of there, because there are enough Republicans in the House that are saying we are against gambling of any kind and simply won't go along with it, with any kind of gambling. So in order to make that move, they're going to have to add some things in it that ironically would make those House Republicans even more upset. But
that
will make it passable in the House.
Y'all know that. I mean, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give up on my prison lottery thing. But I do realize when I'm outnumbered. So let's talk about it this way. It seems like in anything, if you are going to get something done in the legislative system, you compromise. You make, you know, you make deals. Okay. What about that discussion? Instead of saying it's all general fund or it's all ETF. Why don't you, and people say, I don't want to have them just have discretion over it, which is another discussion. I want to have it earmarked. Okay. So break down, you know, the big jobs of government. Break down, even though we have the gas tax increase, you know, infrastructure is part of this. School can be part of this. General fund, you know, general fund section can be part of it. Medicaid expansion can be part of whatever. Then you bring lots of constituencies together and say, there you go. I need you all to gel together and get this done.
And that is likely what is going to happen. But here's where I'm going to hurt your feelings.
Okay, bring it on.
When you take the top end of the we want all of it, casino gambling, the whole nine yards, the study commission put out said, what, $700 million and change,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
By the time you divide that, Sean, between infrastructure improvements, education, general fund, et cetera, you are left with small pieces of what you started with. And unfortunately, I don't think that this is going to be the panacea that most people think that it is, because you're going to end up with $100 million over here, $200 million over here, you know, et cetera. And I think that at the end of the day, there's not going to be enough to really make a huge dent.
That's ridiculous.
It will be more. Don't get me wrong.
It's more than they had when they started.
Go ahead.
I just say it's more than they had when they started. I mean, saying that, yeah, it's not the whole big, you know, deal, but if they get 200 million here and 200 million there, maybe I'm just hayseed enough to say that's $200 million more than you had.
And you're absolutely right. There's no question about it. But let's take higher education, for instance. The University of Alabama came out with a statement last week saying we need this and it needs to go to education, right? Take the Georgia Lottery that helps fund scholarships for students, okay? Well, if you have, for instance, maybe $200 million or so of that goes solely to higher education scholarships, well, that's great, right? But we're going to divide that up between what educational institutions, you know, the University of North Alabama, the University of West Alabama, the University of South Alabama, to say nothing to Auburn and Alabama. You get the idea. It starts getting spread out so much that there's some money there, but it's not going to mean everybody goes to college free.
No, it doesn't, but I think it can help some, and I know they'll hate this idea. I don't want the universities or the colleges in charge of that. I want the – if that did happen – which I, once again, I still think it should go to prisons and general fund. But if it went for the, it should go to the students as long as they use that money at an in-state institution. So to heck with, I don't want Alabama or Auburn or wherever telling people, here's how many scholarships we have to give. I say you award it to the child who has shown the grades, obviously, to get that scholarship to be top of the line. And then they can apply it at the university they choose.
And I tend to agree with you. You get into questions after that. Is it merit-based? Is it need-based? How does that work? And again, you know, the same examples with transportation or infrastructure funding, the same example with general fund budgets, et cetera. I mean, even the top end, and don't get me wrong, I don't think we're going to get out of this session with a bill that allows widespread gambling in the state of Alabama. I don't think that's going to happen. Or a bill that allows an amendment for widespread gambling in Alabama. I think you're going to get something much more middle of the road. I think that means the revenue associated with it is much more middle of the road, and that you may have an amendment that yields somewhere in the $200 to $500 million a year range. That's well and good, but we're seeing increases in the education trust fund alone that are in that range year over year. You know, this is at full bore is less than 10% of all of the revenue at the state level. It's just not so much money that we're going to see monumental change in what services the state's able to provide. You are correct in saying it's more and that there could be good done with it, no doubt about it. But I don't want everybody thinking, you know, this is going to handle my kids' college fund, or all our road problems are going to be fixed, or your prison problems are going to be fixed. See how I transferred them onto you all of a sudden? But your prison problems are going to be fixed. It's more and it'll help, but it's not going to fix everything.
No, but I want to point out that the right of voting on amending the Constitution of Alabama should be based, as I've said for years, said again this morning, should be based on liberty, not cash flow outcome. But I realize also that that's a fool's errand in legislature. So it's got to be – it's all about what it goes – it's all about the ends, not the means. And if people want to play lottery, I think they should be able to vote to let themselves play lottery. But I'm not – you know, I'm not making any decisions. Let's talk about session. February 2nd, I think, or right there at the beginning of February? Is that going to happen?
That's going to happen. We're going to be back in and going. There's not a whole lot of doubt in my mind. There may be in some others, but I think we're ready to go. You know, we've got a vaccine rolling out. You know, there are members of the legislature that are set to receive that vaccine, either because they're a physician or because they are above a certain age limit or both.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a number of physicians in the legislature that have already received it. I think y'all talked to Governor Bentley earlier, and he's already gotten it. So you're starting to see those folks get it on their own. And then you've got a number of members of the legislature. We've had, you know, several in our, you know, caucus that have had it already, that have already been exposed to it, have already, you know, been afflicted with it and have gotten over it and are moving on. So I think by the time we get into session, I think a majority of the legislators will either have received some version of the vaccine, A, or B, have already contracted the illness and recovered from it, And then I think the rest of us will probably be in that spot where they're willing to take that chance and to move on. And I go back to something I've said over and over again. Goodness gracious, we've asked everybody else in this country to go back to work. You ought to at least expect that from your legislature. No, so I'm ready to go.
No, well said. And so people understand what you're saying. When some story comes out or they hear that many in the legislature have gotten the vaccine, that will be because of either their job as a physician or their age, right? There's not a special vaccine line for members up on Goat Hill.
I'm not aware of one. You know, there's certainly been an argument that's been made of that or for that, so that we can get back to work. And again, I go back to what I said before. We've asked everybody else to go back to work without a vaccine. Let's us lead by example and do the same thing.
There we go. State Senator Chris Elliott, as always, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll be talking more. If I don't talk to you before Friday, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Yeah, to you as well and to yours as well, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on.
There we go. Thank you. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile. Your calls and texts, we'll get to those when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday, counting down the days till Christmas, which, by the way, too, coming up in a second, some more brilliant work from my friend Leanna, the 2020 bingo game. We'll talk about this coming up. Speaking of gambling in the state, right, and bingo. Got our own bingo game for 2020 coming up in just a couple minutes. All right, phone number 343-0106. You can check in there. And well, first, though, let's check in with my friend Larry Kirby at LCM. And, yeah, it's just a few more days left for Santa here looking for that vehicle.
Absolutely, just a few days to go. And we'll provide the red bows for him. So we're ready for it.
You're ready for that? And your selection of cars is fantastic.
Absolutely. Could you see yourself right? I know you're not a car guy. I'm not a car guy, but how about riding around in a 2015 Camaro convertible with real low miles? Beautiful afternoon.
I could do that. Yes, I could. You could press me into service on that. Yes.
All right. We also got a great selection of cars. We got Toyota Camrys. We got Dodge Chargers. We got Chrysler 300Cs. We got Mercedes sedans, Nissan Altima. So we got a great mix of vehicles, cars. Sports cars, family cars, and gas mileage.
Can you get financing done this time of year, like with the Christmas holiday coming?
Yes, sir. We got great financing. We always got great financing, but this time of year is even special deals and special rates going on till the end of the year, and hopefully they'll carry on through the first of the year.
All right. Well, tell folks how to come out and check out the inventory, talk financing, and let Santa get that car for under the tree.
Come see us at the corner of Highway 90 and Plantation Road. Business online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook. Please call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, 12:53. Hey, Bob had sent this. Bob said, talking about Senator Elliott, have him check the Georgia lottery. It's changed there over the years, and they have been duped. We have family there. They said the legislature has put their dirty paws in there and screwed it up from the get-go. So, Bob, for years I've been talking about the bait-and-switch thing that was done. I thought they amended it in Georgia, but early on, I think the simplified way the story goes is they voted for the lottery to have money for colleges, right? In there, but there had been some general fund money already allocated. So when the money came in from the lottery for that, they took that money that they had already allocated and didn't add to it. They moved it back to elsewhere in the general fund and replaced it with the lottery money. So it was not in addition to, it was replacement for, and then maybe. So, I mean, yes, there were some, and I mean, people saying that, doing it for the kids and all that. Listen, one of the reasons I take the unpopular opinion of a prison lottery is to point something out. Well, point two things out. Number one, and I've been doing this for 4 years now, I was pointing out for all those years that we had an issue that was going to happen with our prison system. Imagine that. Look what happened. And number two, I was pointing out that you should judge a lottery. If the state wants to amend the Constitution, we the people want to change it, you should make that decision based on liberty. In other words, means versus ends. And it's a discussion that doesn't have, we would be the first, because it's always wrapped up and made pretty because it's for the children. No, you make, do you want a lottery or not? Now, you can get into the where the money's allocated, but they don't sell it that way. They don't. They sell it as a education lottery, right? Not people having the right to risk their money to try to beat the odds that are ridiculous to try to win money. Okay, I mean that's what that the reason I do prison lottery is I just want y'all to think: do you want? And I'm for us getting the right to vote on this, and have been. Okay, I'm for that, but I just want to point out, are people going to go out to vote yes or no on whether we have the right as citizens to have a lottery or any other gambling versus getting all wrapped up in what the outcome would be? Okay, that is just, that's why I said prison. You could make it anything. You could make it, whatever unpopular spending area of government. Make it for that in your mind, and then would you support the lottery? Now, I think you still should, because you should support the right of the people to make that choice. Nobody's forcing you to play the lottery. But when we get all hung up in, but it's going for this. Well, pick something else. Pick some other vice and then say, would you vote to legalize that vice because it paid for whatever? That's how I think you look at this fairly. So, but the reality of Montgomery and of Washington and everywhere in between is you've got to wrap it up and you got to make it important to this constituency or that constituency to get them to agree, right? You have to, many beaks must be wet when they come out of the fun breakdown on this. All right. Couple other things on the list tonight. You're going to watch the, we'll talk about this when we get back from the break. You're going to, 5:30 or so, you're going to try to check out the Christmas Star. I wrote a note here. Have you ever, I will absolutely be doing this because I'm a sucker for this stuff, especially when you tell me it's really, truly once in a lifetime, might be another 800 years before it happens again. But do you ever go do one of these things, whether it's a special solar deal or an event, and it's a once in a lifetime event, and you go and you're finished and you're like, was that all it was cracked up to be? I mean, do you get more excited before wouldn't it be better if somebody just told you last minute and said, hey, look up right there. That's Jupiter and Saturn. Last time that happened was 800 years ago. And then you'd be, that's pretty cool. Or like in our house where the hype machine between the teenager and myself have gotten real high, will we be disappointed this afternoon at 5:30, 5:35, 5:45 when we look to the southwest and see this happen? I don't know. See if I take some video of it while it happens so I can hold on to it. But yeah, it's one of those things that am I getting too hyped for it that it may not pay off at a level that I expect it to. So I don't know. It's a Christmas Star. Pretty cool. Once every 800 years, we'll see what all the hype's about. Except there's no one left that saw it the first time to tell us how cool it was. They just wrote down how cool it was. So I'll be the judge of that. Hour number two. Midday Mobile straight ahead. News is next.